Hallelujah. Good evening, saints. Trust you're doing well tonight. Thankful for the Lord's presence. Amen. He's been good to us. Our testimony is, it is well with my soul. And it's surely an hour, you know, just hearing the word this morning. And that walk in the Spirit is really part of dealing with the battles that are in our minds. You know, the soul is made up of the mind, the emotions, and as you all know, the will. And just to throw out a few verses to refresh your hearts again, but it says in Isaiah that God will keep them in perfect peace, whose what? Whose mind is stayed on thee. And it says in Romans 8, if you by the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body. So the dealing with the soul and the mind, the emotions, our wills, is really, it has to be a work of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. It's part of that walk in the Spirit. But it says also, like Pastor was quoting, we have the mind of Christ. It says, and let this mind, Philippians says, be what? In you. And we've been born again of renewed. It says, be renewed in Ephesians in the spirit of your, do you remember that verse in Ephesians 4? Be renewed in the spirit of your mind and be transformed by the renewing of your mind and take every thought captive, right? That opposes the will of God, the word of God. So a lot of our battlefield, as you all so well know, is our minds. It's a lot of where the battle is. That's why you hear in Ephesians about the fiery darts of who? The enemy. Where do they come? Where do those fiery darts come? They're coming into the mind. And that's why it says in 2 Corinthians that though we walk in the flesh, we don't what? War. After the flesh, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. We heard that utterance tonight. Though the enemy comes in, he comes in like a flood, right? Sometimes it's just like you feel overwhelmed. But the Spirit of God does what? He lifts a standard against them, and he's an ever-present help in time of trouble. And as we heard in the utterance, he's our refuge, our strong and our high tower. We can turn, we can look unto him and be helped. And it's not even about how long your prayer is or how correct it is. It's just, Lord, I trust in you. Just like Isaiah was saying, thou shalt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, right? And how does it finish? Because he what? He trusts in you. He trusts in thee. So like it says in Psalm 120, I will look unto the hills. From where comes what? My help. My help comes from the Lord. Just remembering that he said, I'll never leave you. I'll not forsake you. I'll not leave you without comfort. And I've given you the comforter who's come to not only be with you, but to dwell where? In you, praise God. So it's just been a blessing to hear about just the environment of faith, of what Father is working in us. You can even see in Luke 24, as they were waiting for the Holy Spirit in Luke 24 and for that promise of the Father, and he told them to wait, and don't leave Jerusalem until you're endued or clothed with power from on high. But look what they were doing as we talk about the environment of faith. The environment that allows God to have his way. Amen. The environment that allows God to show himself mighty. The environment that doesn't hinder God from doing what he wants to do in our hearts, in our marriages, in our homes, with our families, in our lives, and in this fellowship. The environment that's going to cause God to have free. Isn't that what we want for him to have free reign? Can you say amen? How many of you desire for the Lord to have his way? How many of you would say, I don't want God in any way to be limited from what he wants to do and what he promised in his word. I want him to be the God that I read about in the word. Can you say amen? I don't want anything less. Amen. So anything in our lives, even as we're speaking tonight, man, anything in our lives that just doesn't honor him, that you know is a hindrance to him changing you, any hindrance to making you like him that causes you to know him more and represent him better. And isn't that their heart's cry? To be more like you? Lord, I want to be more like you. I want to finish this race. How many of you desire to be a vessel of honor? And it says that the eyes of the Lord are moving to and fro, amen, throughout the whole earth, that he might show himself how? Mighty on the behalf of the one whose heart, it uses the word upright, whose heart is loyal. He's looking for a heart that's what? Available. He's looking for a heart that's tender and amendable and yielded and surrendered. He's not looking for a perfect person. He's not looking for a person who's doing everything right, because that person doesn't exist. But he's looking for that person who wants to get it right. And getting it right doesn't mean fixing what's wrong. It means you want to love God and represent him purely. Getting it right means having your treasures right. Because think about it. Faith, because without faith, we're not going to see the miraculous, the supernatural, the signs and the wonders and the demonstration of God's power and God's character and attributes. It's going to be faith that works by love. But without faith, it's impossible. But with faith, amen, all things are possible to he that believeth, amen. And we just want any of that unbelief or any of that strife or any of that apathy or any unforgiveness, anything that would hinder our hearts from receiving what he promised, receiving his fullness. And it says in Ephesians that when you know the love of God that surpasses knowledge, you'll be filled with all the fullness of to know the love of Christ that passes knowledge. It passes knowledge. Knowledge shall cease, but love never fails. Faith, hope, and love abide. These three, but the greatest of these is love, because God is love. And he that loveth not, knoweth not what? God. And that love of God in your heart, you knowing his love for you, and you having that love shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Spirit, you knowing that love is what causes you to be able to love him. We love him because he first. And when his love is in us and it's realized and known and walked in and partaken of, when we know his love, when we're walking in the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit is love, when we're walking in the Spirit, we're recipients of that free agape love of God. We're able to love him because he first loved us. If you're struggling with your love toward Father, and it'll show itself with the way you're able to love the lost, the unlovely, those who maybe you're not as close to, those who bother you, the body of Christ, the people who might annoy you or seem to just have a beef with you at work or in the neighborhood or wherever, if you're having trouble loving, it's because you're having trouble understanding how much you're loved. Because freely we've received, freely we give. So the one thing we don't want to do is hinder the flow of the love of God through our lives. God wants his love in us to be projected and represented through us. So once you start hindering the flow of God's love to the unlovely, to our enemies, to the lost, to the neighbor, to the boss, to the coworker, once you stop loving, you're not in communion with God because God is love. If you're abiding in God, you're going to be abiding in his love. And the fruit of the Spirit, right? We're talking about walking in the Spirit. If you walk in the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit begins with what? Love. And I don't want to get off into details, but some people say all the other attributes that are described, the other eight fruit, are just manifestations of God's perfect love. I'm not sure if that's the only understanding, but I'm okay with it. Because love is patient, love is kind, love is gentle. Amen? To know the love of God that surpasses knowledge. But in the environment of faith, that spirit of love, the love of God, you think about being able to give back to God your life. Because all what he really wants from us every day is us. Right? Sometimes we look at the weights and the sins and we want to lay aside different things. But really when it comes down to it, what Jesus is really after each day in our lives is for us to love him more than anything else. Right? When he says, do you love me more than? Do you? It's not just the question he asked Peter. He asks us that question as he visits us and draws us to himself. And he spreads the table for us and he knocks on the door of our hearts and he draws us and woos us to himself. And he says, come near now. I want to speak to you. I want to reveal myself. I'm molding you and I need you to get still. You're too caught up. You're too distracted. You're too preoccupied with yourself and your feelings and who hadn't done you right and how it should be and why things haven't gone your way. And he's wanting to bring us into that spirit where we're of a lowly mind. We're not high-minded. Not thinking of ourselves, right, more highly than we ought to think, right? But having a lowly, he's just looking for that meekness to be at work. He wants to work his meekness in us. And he's like, you don't have it in you naturally. You need to commune with me for me to make that a part of who you are. In yourself, you're just into yourself. And Jesus emptied himself. He came and showed us how to live that perfect, sinless, selfless life. Victory over sin and self and Satan and this world. And he did it by the power of the Holy Spirit. And sure, he never ceased being God. He was God in the flesh. He never ceased being God. He never ceased being the Son of God. He can't do that. He's the Son of Man, the Son of God, and God in the flesh all at the same time. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And he draws us and he prepares the table and he says, now just get quiet. And I want to reveal more of myself to you. And that question that comes like it came to Peter, do you love me more than what you're caught up in? See, what you're caught up in, who's the one who's caught up in it? So you're looking at fixing what you're caught up in. But ultimately, who's it feeding? Who's caught up in it? That's an object. That might be, you know, I got to let go of that. That is an object. The problem still has to come back to, right? Guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life, right? So from within proceed the good and the bad, right? And we just need to have a confidence in the Holy Spirit working in our hearts. Our hearts are deceitful outside of God's grace, but our hearts have also been changed. And he's removed the stony heart and given us a heart of flesh, right? So we have a born again, a reborn spirit. But outside of the influence of the Spirit of God, the heart is so deceitful. And even having the Holy Spirit in us, we can't in ourselves know our own hearts, but the Word of God's a discerner. The Lord says, I know, I search, I try, I examine, but we have to have a willingness also to be tried. Lord, search me and try me and know my heart and see if there's any wicked way in me, right? Create in me a clean heart. And the pure in heart shall see God. Amen. Create in me a clean heart and renew what kind of spirit? Man, I just want, because you know when your heart's right with God, it's well with your soul. There could be things going bad, things going wrong, circumstances that are bothersome. There could be trials you're in. There could be some kind of adversity, struggle, whatever it is. But when you're right with Father, you know he's in control, like we heard in that utterance tonight. He has you right where you are. We heard this morning, some of the different things were just feeling out of control or not knowing. And we want to know what's going on and we want to understand what's next. And Father's not interested in that. He's interested in how much you trust him, how content you are in him today, how at peace you are in him being the Lord of your life, how thankful you are for him being the God of your salvation, how at rest you are that Father knows best. He orders your steps. There's not one thing that has slipped his mind. He never accidentally falls asleep. His eyes don't ever get heavy. He doesn't sleep or slumber. He's never forgotten you. He's never gotten so caught up in some other needy nation or needy person or some adversity to cause him to be taken off guard and something that caught you unexpectedly. Isn't that awesome? He's never taken by surprise. We get taken by surprise, but he's not. What's he saying? Just draw near. Come near. Draw near to God and he'll what? Draw near to you. So this environment of faith, when he told them to go back to Jerusalem, look what they were doing in verse 52 of Luke 24. It says as they worshiped him. And if we could stop there for a minute. We can't worship God in our natural man. Your intellect cannot worship God. God is a spirit. And you can hear the Holy Spirit really wanting to bring us more to that spirit walk where we're spirit led. Amen. Spirit controlled, spirit filled, spirit guided, sensitive to the voice of the Holy Spirit, understanding that his voice is consistent and one with his word. that we hear His voice through other people, not just what we hear in our own spirits. We hear His voice through those that are over us. We hear His voice as we commune with Jesus, the head of the church. But that need to know and be sensitive to and to hear the voice of the Lord. And He said, you know, it sounds mysterious, but He said, my sheep, right, of which we are, we're the sheep of His pasture, amen. The people of God, praise God, the sheep of His pasture. And He leads us by His hand. And He said, my sheep know my voice. I know them. They follow me. They'll not follow a stranger. They will not follow a stranger. So those winds of doctrine that are causing people to be tossed to and fro, He says, my sheep hear my voice and I know them. You should rejoice tonight that He knows you by name. Praise God. I mean, it's really true. It's not like trying to beef it up and make it sound good tonight. He knows you by name. Your name is inscribed on the palm of God's hand. You're in His heart. We heard that utterance tonight about His intercession for us. How comforting tonight and how encouraging that He ever lives to make intercession for us. Man, I see the need in my life for greater prayerfulness and sensitivity and areas that are still needing to be changed, like all of us. Amen? And I don't want to just so rest on the intercession of Jesus that I'm not that prayer warrior He's calling me to be. But I'm very thankful for the intercession of Jesus. Ever living to make intercession for us. Seated at the right hand of God, ever living to make that intercession. And our faith is being tried, man. And sometimes it seems that we're being knocked down, praise God. But the righteous man, he gets back up. The fiery darts, sometimes they get in there. Instead of spending time trying to figure out how they got in there, just get them out in the name of Jesus. Go to the cross. We were hearing about the cross this morning. Just go to the cross and draw on the compassion of Jesus. Know His love and care. He wants you to be in His embrace. Even though you're struggling with different areas, you can't lose sight. He said, I'll never leave you. I'm not going to leave you without comfort. You're my child. You're the apple of my eye. Even when there's things in your life that don't please me, that grieve me, I am still dealing with you. I'm drawing you. I have not cast you off. I'm longing to restore at all times. I will judge sin, but I'm always looking for forgiveness. I'm always looking for mercy to triumph over judgment. If I see brokenness, honesty, sincerity, availability, let's just be available tonight, praise God. We're talking about the environment of faith. It says here, they returned back to Jerusalem and they worshiped Him. And one of the greatest things as far as the environment of faith in our hearts, in our lives, in our homes, is just a worshipful heart. And in that worship, it includes praise, singing, thanksgiving. Just that meditation on who He is, how good He is. What He afforded us at Calvary. The thankfulness that He dwells in us. Just recalling the simplicity of the promises of God to us that are yes and amen in Christ to the glory of God by us, the church. Not one good thing has He withheld from us. The God who daily loads us with His benefits, even the God of our salvation. He's been good to us. We have so much to be thankful for, and he wants us to really embrace that servant's heart, not just the serving, but the servant's heart, to see ourselves small in our own eyes, but not just because we're trying to be humble. We're humble because we know how awesome our God is. And then our hearts are bowed down as we say, who am I? Who are my people? Who am I that God would love me while I was a sinner? He loved me. Dead, I was dead in trespasses and sins, conceived in iniquity, right? Born as a child of wrath, a son of disobedience, bound. Satan was my father, and Jesus rescued me, praise God. Born of God, begotten of Him. He said the church were bone of His bone and flesh of His flesh. So much to be thankful for. Don't let anything take your joy from you. Jesus said, I've given you a joy that no one can take from you. A lot of things will try to take it. The enemy will try to take it. Our preoccupation with self will try to take it. Our overemphasis on the natural, to being so caught up in natural things, will cause your mind to be so filled with natural things that you won't be able to set your mind. We were talking earlier about the warfare of the mind. He said, set your mind on things that are above. While we look not on the things which are seen, but on the things which are not seen, which are eternal. Oh God, that our eyes would be opened and we'd get another fresh glimpse of Jesus in our spirits. That our hearts would even be stirred tonight to see how worthy He is to be worshiped. That heart that Job had, he had areas that needed to change, but what a testimony in the midst of his trial in Job 25, where he gets a glimpse and a revelation in the midst of his pain, devastation, uncertainty, just all racked with pain. It just seemed like a disaster. And he gets a glimpse of his Redeemer. And he said, my Redeemer liveth, and I know I'll see him in that last day. What a revelation in Job 13 while he's going through his trial. And he's justifying. He has areas that Father's going to deal with later. But he says, though he slay me. And the point there tonight in the environment of faith is, you got to be willing to do what Father's speaking to go on from glory to glory, from faith to faith. See, we're in the process of being transformed, and there's certain things that got to be let go of. There's areas where he's saying, I want you to let this go. I want you to spend more time here. We gotta be sensitive to the areas he's speaking. We're thankful for his mercy. We're thankful that he's long suffering. Amen. We're thankful that he bears long with us. Love. His love never fails, right? So he talks to us about walking in love, right? But he is the God of love. And love hopes all things, believes all things. Bears all things, endures all things. That's how God's love is with us. He's long suffering. Sure, he's not going to strive with us. He won't always strive, but let me tell you, he strives. He strives. And we're alive today because he strives. And he's merciful and doesn't want us to perish. And everything that he's working out in our lives is to bring us to that finished work where this corruption will put on incorruption. And this mortal will put on immortality, and we stand before him in that day and look him in the eyes and hear, well done. But more than even that, just being able to glimpse him. And in that moment, it says, in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we're going to be changed, praise God. Every tear, every heartache, every pain, it's already been taken at the cross. He's not holding it against us, praise God. If we're talking about walking in aphemy, you talk about aphemy, God puts it away and forgets totally. And his justification through his blood and his resurrection power and our faith, even the faith he's given us to believe and trust in him, his justification is so powerful that when he pronounces us righteous, when he declares you righteous, he puts his own, he takes away our filthy rags and he puts his own righteousness into our account. What great love that is. What an exchange. What an exchange, man. We're blessed. So much to be thankful for. He said, I view you, I see you as cleared. Listen, because guilt is powerful, man. Condemnation. We battle way more guilt and condemnation and accusation than we even want to talk about. But just being aware, you've been set free from all guilt. All accusation, all condemnation. Just that oppressiveness of the enemy where you don't even understand why or where or what did I do? Where's it coming from? It's just an oppression, man. It's a heaviness. And we just put on that garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. God lifts that oppression right out of your life as you begin to direct your heart and mind to the cross. And begin to thank Jesus for who he is. You might not even have all the arrows out. You might still be in the process of getting up from being knocked down. You might have even gone down because of your own foolishness. But he's merciful. Too many times we're foolish. And self-willed and selfish. And he's so merciful to us. And he's been good to us. and he hasn't abandoned us, and he hasn't forgotten us, and he hadn't forsaken us, and now he's wanting to take us into a realm, and he's saying, I got more I want to do. I'm looking for those who are ready to die more. Not to things, but to themselves. When that happens, the things will be taken care of. As we heard this morning. I'm not looking for somebody who does everything right. The elder brother of the prodigal was doing everything right. But he wasn't right. He didn't know the heart of his father. The men who walk with God don't do everything right. But they know him. They get back up. They get back up and they say, they just return to the presence of God. David returned to the presence of God. Jacob returned to the presence of God. Moses returned to the presence of God. Noah walked with God. Enoch walked with God. Jeremiah walked with God. These men walked with God. It's a pursuit of knowing him. Get back up. And when he sees hunger in you, he's going to satisfy you with himself. And if he sees that there's not hunger in you, he's looking for you to see where you are and go, Lord, just change my heart. I've become my appetite for the natural, my appetite for other than your presence. The amount of value I'm putting on myself and what's satisfying me and leaving me actually empty. To satisfy me, I find myself empty. And the more I get, the more I want. And the more I get, the emptier I am. And it becomes a vicious cycle of being controlled by a spirit of lust. And we all battle it. And it's our own covetousness and our own discontent. And it's not about the things we're caught up in. It's when you begin to slowly drift and desert Jesus and intimacy with him. When that word's no longer getting into your spirit, that's keeping you from being able to say no to yourself, to your flesh. Well, you're not able to have the mind of the spirit. You're not able to be in communion with God. When that word's not entering in there and bringing that light and that life and that refreshing and that quickening of your spirit man, the war against these appetites that are in us and all that we see outside and what we battle inside, man, when you're not getting refreshed, man, our natural propensities for all of us, we all got a war with them. The good news is we mess up and he's merciful. We confess our sins. He's faithful in what? Just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all. So can I ask you, is there a sin that you're conscious of tonight that's kind of being used against you? Maybe a past one, a present condition you're in, and Satan's right there just accusing you, telling you you're not worthy. You're not good enough. You haven't been faithful in your devotions. You haven't gotten up when God told you. Just whatever it is, you haven't fasted like you should. You watch too much TV and you haven't changed yet. You do too much of this. You do too much of that. You know, the Holy Spirit doesn't bring confusion when he ministers. He doesn't just come with a lot of oppression and things and accusations and just dump on you all the areas where you're messed up and wrong. That's the work of the enemy. That consciousness of how messed up you are and how that sense of unworthiness and you're not good enough and here's the areas you're messed up and you're just staying conscious of where you're wrong and off and not change and not pure enough. That's not the Lord. And I really believe that'll set some of us free tonight if we get a hold of that in the Holy Ghost. Because we need that embrace of our acceptance in the Beloved. There's no question the refining process, the fire of God that's burning away the dross in this hour and making his bride ready for his soon coming, which is, you all know so well, a preparation of every spot, wrinkle, and blemish. Everything that's unholy, unrighteous, ungodly, that's worldly, that's of the... All of that, we're in the process of being changed and purified, amen? But we need to understand our acceptance in the Beloved. And we are messed up, but the Bible says we're complete in him. Now that settles it. Perfected forever, praise God, for the believer. And he that continues to believe and trust in the finished work of Jesus. When Jesus said, it is finished, he meant it. And I thank you, Jesus, it's finished. And we're trying to add this and add that and fix that. It's like we get saved by grace and now we're going to work for holiness, praise God. There's works involved, but it's got to be based on relationship, man. It's got to be based on knowing his love for you. It is so powerful of a force to be dealing with that works performance, pleasing God and measuring ourselves by our own perception of ourselves. Paul said, I don't even know. But we're all going to stand and give an account. We're going to be at the Bema. Get intimate with Jesus. Those uncertainties, that torment, that fear, that oppression, just break through all that and get with Jesus. That's a solution. Get with Jesus. That's prayer. You want to talk about prayer? Get time with Jesus. Get time in communion with the Holy Ghost. Get time and just lay, just get the things that are weighing you down, whatever they are, get them before the Lord and roll. Take your burden, take your cares, your troubles, your lusts, your battles, your anger, your covetousness, take whatever, the ambition, take pride, whatever. Just bring it to Jesus again and say, Lord, here I am. I need saving again. You said, Pastor Ron, you mean we're getting, hey, don't get theological with me now. Don't get all theological. Just bring, let Jesus save you again. Save you from yourself. Wash you again. He's so ready to breathe new life into you. He's so ready to clean you up. He's not tired of you. He's not tired of you messing up the way you see yourself. The way you sometimes look at other people, man. We need to understand how God views our frailty. And there's things that displease Him that need to change and be repented of. But we need to know the heart of God as He deals with us in our weaknesses. Because if the enemy can keep us conscious of everything we're doing wrong and all of our Bible knowledge that we now know, all that we're supposed to be doing, and how easy it is to be analytical and be aware of everything you're not doing and everybody else in your household, what they ain't doing. Here's what they're not doing. Here's what they're doing wrong. It just, we need the mind of the Spirit. We need more Jesus. And He's so ready to fill the hungry, willing, available heart. I didn't say perfect performance. Just somebody who just is needy. Somebody who sees, I can't do this. I can't save myself. I can't better myself for God to be worthy enough, to be good enough, to be a vessel of honor. We're clay. Just put it in His hands and watch. Watch what He does to make you. He's already made us His workmanship in Christ unto good works. Man, God knows what He's doing. He just wants to be trusted. That's what faith is. Entrusting your spirituality, your spiritual well-being into the hands of God. I trust you to finish what you've started. Looking unto Jesus, the author. He said, I'm going to finish it. I don't know if you're going to make it. You just seem like one of those people who's destined for wrath. But where is that in the Word? Where's that accusation coming from? You're going to walk around just thinking, I might miss the rapture. I might miss the rapture. I might pass around. Are you saying you can't miss the rapture? You can. But if you think you're going to avoid the rapture being, if you think you're not going to miss it by sitting there thinking, I don't want to miss the rapture. I don't want to miss the rapture. You're probably going to miss it. I'm not saying that we don't deal with that. And there isn't a fear in our hearts. At the end of the day, you better not turn and look at how much foundation you built through your quiet time. You better not be trusting in yourself, man. You better not be trusting in how long you prayed, how many books you read, how much you memorized, how many souls you witnessed to, how many people you laid hands on. That's not where your trust is. I thank God for all those areas, man. We need more of that. We're lacking. We've been here. We've been being challenged. We need more of that. I'll tell you, all of that's taken care of when you get intimate with the heart of God. You want to do what Peter did? They got to take note of you that you've been with Jesus. You want to be like the Apostle John? He's one of my favorite apostles. I love John. But what did John do? He hung out with? What did he do to prepare them for ministry? He called them to be with him. I can't tell you what keeps you from being with him. I can't speak to your heart what's keeping you from tasting more deeply than you have already how good he is. I can't make you respond to the wooings and the dealings of the Holy Spirit that we've been hearing week after week after week that have been saying, come, there's more of me. Come and get quiet. I'm going to join you up with me in intercession. I'm going to teach you how to intercede. I'm going to teach your hands in the spirit realm how to war. I'm going to teach you how to pray. I'm going to make you, some of you, intercessors like you've never known. I'm going to teach you how to pray for my people and get a part of my heart and my burden for the people of God. I'm going to teach you how to pray for the lost and how to be available to speak into their lives a word in season. And I'm going to teach you how to rest in my goodness. Just getting quiet and being in God's embrace. John, it says he leaned. He reclined. And he leaned on the breast, the bosom of Jesus. It's a great analogy. You know, he's not with us physically at this point. But what, when you think of just wanting to know the mind of the Spirit, like it says in Romans 8, that phrase, the mind of the Spirit, and wanting to know the heartbeat of God. Can I ask you something? What is it going to take in our lives to shake us to a place where we'll get desperate enough for God? And I know that Father loves us so much, he'll chasten us. He'll bring hard times. He'll create circumstances and lead us into places that make us more needy. And I realize a lot of times that's how it works. But can't you hear the Holy Spirit saying, do you love me more than these? What do you love more than me? Of course it's ourselves. What do you love more than me? Why can't you give me more time so I can make you more like me? You say use me. And I get ready to and then you run around. You say change me and I'm ready to and then you don't get still. You pray all these things that you want, and I really believe God sees the intent of our heart. That is what we want. And I'm not questioning our motive. I believe it's what we want. Can you say amen? Amen. But we gotta want it more. That's what I'm saying. I'm not talking about works. I'm talking about the prize. I'm not talking about laying aside every weight so I can feel good about myself. I'm talking about wanting more of Jesus. I'm talking about wanting to be more full of the Holy Spirit. Because these men were reading about, and these people in the scripture and these other books were reading about, if you look at it, it wasn't about works. It was about consecration and relationship. They weren't boasting about fasting. Their boast wasn't their disciplines, and they were fasting and they had disciplines. That wasn't their boast. Their boast was in the presence. Each one of these lives had an intimate communion, and their life revolved around time with God. And everything else took second fiddle to being in the presence of God. And I tell you right now, and I'm talking to myself first, there's no way you're going to become what you and I say we want without some changes being made in our lives. And it's a very painful thing to look and go, we want it, but not bad enough to get it. Because you and I know, according to our hunger, be it unto us. According to our faith, be it unto us. According to our pursuit, be it unto us. According to our willingness, be it unto us. Who can deprive you of the presence of God when he said, come, I'm here for you? Who can deprive you? Who can deny you? Mary sat at his feet, and Martha had something to say about it. And what did he say? He said, Martha, one thing is needed. And Mary has what? Chosen that good part, and it will not be what? Taken away from her. She won't be denied. She has a heart for me. I'm going to reward those who diligently seek me. Not for power, not for signs and wonders, and that's fine, it's okay. Who diligently seek me as God. And that's the environment of faith, man. It's a heart of worship. It's a heart of thanksgiving. And you know what? If you're so full of other things and your mind's so full of all the natural stuff and you're not able to clear the mechanism, sorry, that's a baseball movie, but if you're not able to deal with those areas in your mind to bring those thoughts into subjection, to go get refreshed again in the Word and pull that stuff down, it's going to be hard. But you got to talk to your soul. Your spirit man's got to take this Holy Spirit who's in your spirit, your reborn spirit, you got to take control. Your spirit's willing. And man can we relate with, and the flesh is weak. And God wants us to strengthen the spirit and go from a willing spirit to a more obedient spirit. A spirit that rises up. Because a spirit broken down is like walls broken down. It gets beaten down by the enemy. The enemy can come in and get you, man. It's not a trust in works. It's proper preparation in His presence. It's consecration. It's pursuit. It's devotion. It's love. It's passion. This environment of faith here, it says they worshiped Him in verse 52 of Luke 24. And they returned to Jerusalem with great joy. They were told to go wait in Jerusalem. And look at the expectation and the spirit that they're waiting and tarrying in. Because you know what? They weren't told how many days. Do you remember in Acts chapter 2? It says, and suddenly there came a rushing mighty wind. And God's looking for pursuit. And to not get tired of pursuing God or think we're doing Him a favor. We got to get rid of the inconvenience it is to us. There's just too much of us. Too much of the love of this world and the love of self. It's not about is it sinful or not. That's not the issue. The issue is how much do we love Him? He said, do you love Me? Then He said, here's what you do. It's a matter of love. It's a matter of commitment. It's a matter of treasure. It's a matter of what and who we worship. How worthy is He of our worship? Our lives are not our own. He wants us to truly, and I know we keep saying this, He wants us to really understand that we're the chief of sinners. That if it wasn't for His mercy, we would be destroyed. We'd be hell-bound. Satan bound, sin bound, in love with ourselves in this world. And man, I mean, get a hold of this verse. You know it. You can quote it, but tonight just hear it again. Those whom the Son sets free are free indeed. We're not free, but we're free. Praise God. We're not walking in it. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. Not to indulge ourselves. There's freedom to worship Him, to draw on His grace, to love Him for who He is. So much that we war with and see through this glass darkly. But I want the next glimpse. I want the next glimpse. Because every time I glimpse, my joy is restored. Amen. Contentment's there. Amen. I enter back into God's rest. The weight, the burdens, the lusts, the cares, the distractions, the me syndrome, me, myself, and I. Whatever it is, it's really back to a preoccupation. You know, you heard Pastor mention this morning all the different selves. But Jesus has a remedy for self, and I'm not saying it's easy. I've been crucified with Christ, and each day we get up, we got to deny ourselves. But when you deny yourselves and work on that death to self, which is the hardest thing, just remember, He paid the price to help you be able to say no to yourself. So even when you're denying self, don't try to do it in your own strength or through will worship or just thinking it's something you have to feel like doing. We don't feel. Who's going to feel like it? But then when you remember what He's done for you, how good He's been to you, remembering His goodness, remembering all His promises, remembering the good things. He's been good to us. It says they returned back to Jerusalem with great joy. And look at this, verse 53. We're continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. Praising and blessing. I believe the Holy Spirit's saying, I want more praise out of my people. Are you willing to give it to me? I believe the Holy Ghost is saying to you tonight and me tonight, God wants more praise out of His people. Are you willing to give it to Him? He wants more praise. And praise goes beyond just our lips. But it's hard to praise God without our lips giving thanks to His name. The sacrifice, Hebrews says, of praise, how frequently? Continually. Called us out of darkness into His marvelous light that we might show forth the praises of Him, praise God. Because we're a holy, chosen people, a peculiar people. He's so worthy of praise. This environment of faith that we're referring to here in Acts, it says in Acts chapter 1, as they continued, you can see in Acts chapter 1 verse 14, these all continued with one accord in prayer. I believe the environment of faith is an environment where there's unity, and we've been hearing it, and an absence of underlying strife. It might not even be manifest yet, but there's just that judgmental spirit Pastor's been talking about, that judgmental spirit. You know what, you know how you can know where your spirit is? When you see people with weakness or weakness that you've dealt with and you watch your reaction to their weakness, it reveals a lot to you as to where you are. How do you handle weakness and sinfulness in other people? How do you bring the ministry? How do you speak? How prayerful? How presumptuous we can be in dealing with one another's familiarity and just how we speak to one another. Oh, that our speech would be seasoned with grace. And our familiarity with each other is something we all got to deal with. But man, we need the grace of God, man. But it says here, these all continued with one accord in prayer. And then look at here in Acts chapter 2, verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord again. Where? In one place. One accord. Just a simple rendering. It says one accord. A simple rendering means one mind. I like one of the other renderings. One passion. Couldn't say it better than this, but if you can keep your finger here and look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1. That environment of faith is an environment of unity, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We hear the verse so many times, a house divided cannot stand. And a heart divided, your heart being divided with God, being double-minded, that you can't stand in your relationship with Father needed. Neither. A heart divided, a double-minded man, unstable. A heart that's like holding on to something that you won't let go of. Even if it's something good, you don't want to hold on to anything that you're holding as an idol and putting it before God. And he's speaking to those areas, but if you look at this on the point of unity in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 10, he said, "Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing." You know, there's so much that we want to we want to just play off or just not, you know, we want to just relegate to, "Oh, I was just kidding." And we do joke around, and I think there can be joking around that's not wicked or evil, but there's just so many things that we just want to dismiss that come out of our hearts. We speak the same thing. And if we're all speaking the word, we're going to be speaking the same thing. If we're all speaking the things that edify, even if you're not quoting chapter and verse, if you're all speaking things that edify, we're speaking the same language. If our hearts are moving in the knowledge of God's love in us, then out of the abundance of our hearts going to come the love of God. Because even when it says in Ephesians, speak the truth, it says speak the truth in love. Even when we're moving in faith, it needs to be faith that worketh by love. Because love never fails. And love, when the love of God's at work, it doesn't give place to strife. Because the Bible says only by pride comes contention and strife. So wherever there's strife, wherever there's that contention, it's always based in somebody's self-will, independence, pride. Self-will. And it gives place to the enemy. The first thing we need to do to deal with hindrances in our lives is those areas where we see that stubbornness, that self-will, that just wanting to demand our own way, or look at who's offended me, or wanting to read into somebody else's motive. You just step back and go, hold on a minute. How does this relate to me being the chief of sinners here? If I really believe I'm the one with the beam right now, in this conflict right now, who is the one more than likely, you'd be safer to go, 100% there's one person here who's the culprit. And we always know there's normally But for you to be safe, you need to be looking at like, man, I wonder if I'm off here. I wonder if I've hurt them. I wonder if I was sharp. I wonder, maybe I thought I meant, maybe, let me just hear their hearts, man. Just being ready to be a peacemaker where you're just not wanting to allow schism in the body. Strife, place to the enemy. That's the environment that Satan thrives in. That's the environment he comes into and brings divisions and factions and dissensions. And he damages marriages and relationships with the saints and even causes you to be crosswise with souls God wants to use you to minister to who are lost. That we would just be small in our own eyes and not think we're owed. When I say, oh, just thinking of ourselves more highly, our opinion of ourselves, that we were offended or inconvenienced. This shouldn't happen to me. Why should this happen to me? It's probably happening because of all that me in there. That's why. Have you noticed all the stuff you hate keeps happening? Have you ever noticed that? There's a reason. I'm just waiting to get out of here for all these circumstances. God's using every one of those circumstances to cause you and I to be crucified. And those are the little tests that we want to relegate as all natural. All those little tests are part of God making you who he wants you to be. How are we doing in embracing God working in us through all these things working together for our good and his glory and ultimately to make us like Jesus? If you keep fighting the things God's using to change you, then you think it's just things you're fighting, but really you're fighting the process of God bringing about crucifixion and a greater dependence on him and working patience and faith. And there's a bunch of things in this world that annoy all of us. But how much of your life are you going to compartmentalize and make natural and make it, well, this doesn't apply to grace. You can't compartmentalize. Our whole walk is, our whole life is being lived before Jesus. It's Christ in us. Wherever you're going, whatever you're saying, however you're reacting, it's Jesus you're carrying with you. Is he okay with it? Is he okay with the attitude and the reaction? If not, then it needs to be forsaken and not justified. There's no excuse for any of us. Don't say, well, this is driving this. I don't care what it is. You can't find that in the Word of God. There's just too much of us. We're just too into ourselves. We're the chief of sinners. Who are we that God would be mindful of us? That environment that just keeps the Holy Spirit at work, where you can just stay in a spirit of rest and contentment, where you can hear what he's saying to you about you. And the more we're able to hear what he's saying to us about his greatness and what he wants to change in us, and our hearts are directed toward the cross and worship and just how big and awesome and mighty and deserving our God is of all the glory, all the praise, all the worship. It just helps us be at a place where we can now move into that place of just being even more useful as we serve one another and minister grace to one another and speak the truth to one another. Our ministry at home, our ministry as disciplers of others, or just people who are edifying one another through relationship and friendship. Our witness to the lost goes way beyond the right message, and we need the right message. Man, we got to declare this gospel. It's the power, amen, unto salvation of those who believe. But our lives being living epistles as well. Living love letters, representatives of what Jesus is like, who he is, what they'll be if they make the decision to accept him. They look at us and see what it'll be like. That's pretty sobering. And his grace is sufficient, but it's pretty sobering. That you all speak the same thing. And then look at this. That there be how many? No. Beloved, we can't give place to the enemy in this area of strife. It can't be given place to at all. Bitterness. Anger. You could be angry and not sin. I'm talking about the wrath of man that doesn't produce the righteousness of God. This strife cannot be given place to. It tries to lurk in dark places in our hearts. Unforgiveness, resentment, grudges, judgments. You can try to disguise that, but God sees it and it doesn't please him. It grieves the Holy Spirit. Your prayer life is going to be hindered if you regard iniquity in your heart. Even if it hadn't manifested yet, beloved, how's God going to be able to work in your heart with any of that in there? And that's the stuff we need to set out against as the greatest hindrance to God moving in our lives and through our lives and showing himself mighty here. Not just getting it out. We need the love of God to rule in our hearts. The peace of God. The fruit of the Spirit. The love of God that never fails. To love. To represent God. To love him first. We all have to deal with apathy and become battling lukewarmness and distractions and loving other things and, of course, battling love in ourselves. But we return back to him and we're awakened. And our hearts are arrested again and we're captured again. And we have remorse that we forsook him for other things, that we got so caught up and preoccupied and see that there was no fulfillment. And plus he was grieved. It's not just about our fulfillment. He was grieved. Father, I'm sorry that I got so caught up in loving myself and just drifted away and forsook you in this area here. And you just get back on track. He's merciful. He was drawing you back to himself. Even with Adam. Adam went against him. I mean, he became the individual, him and Adam. Adam and Eve became the person who allowed Satan to become God of this world. I mean, he just went directly against what God said. And there was consequence. But look at the redemptive heart of God. Look at the heart to restore. The heart to forgive. The heart to win his man back. To draw him back into fellowship. I mean, Adam is working at that point in darkness. He fell from grace. He fell from perfection. He fell from being in the perfect image and likeness of God. He fell and he's in the process of making a covering for himself to make himself feel better in his guilt, which is what we do so many times. We find other ways to make ourselves feel better, to numb our guilt, to numb our lust, to numb all the different discontentments and disgruntlements we have. We look for other things to numb it. And we might not give in to things like addictions and drinking. We just do other things. It could be bondage in our lives that Father wants broken. And Adam was messed up trying to take care of his own guilt. And what was God doing? Seeking him out. And that's what God's doing in our lives every time. Seeking you out. I'm not saying presume on the mercy of God. I'm not saying people can't get turned over. I don't think the people I'm talking to in here tonight are set out to oppose God and not finish this race. I'm talking to people who want to finish this race and endure to the end. And he's coming back for a church without spot or blemish. Look at the rest of this. That you all speak the same thing. That there be no divisions. The rendering in mind says no schisms or no dissensions. No strife. But that the body should be joined and composed. Many members, but one body and one Lord. That look at this, no divisions. And that you be, I love the phrase, perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. And for that to happen, each one of us has to be faithful in our walk in pursuit of Jesus. All the other things that you let in your life and let them rob you of your first love, all the other treasures that you treasure more than him, all the other reasons that you have in your life why you don't let Jesus be who he wants to be, and you bring that here. We need to be unselfish. Part of this pursuit is not just about us. It's ultimately about his glory and obeying him, fearing God and keeping his commandments, amen? The whole duty of man. But what about cleaning yourself up because you have a heart to love others, and you know what you're like when you're not in fellowship with Jesus. I know what I'm like. We need to decrease, man. We need to die. But there's also more power. There's more resurrection power. There's more victory. I believe there's more faith. There's more visitation available to us. I believe there's more refreshing from the Holy Spirit, more revival God wants to bring, more of a stirring, a greater zeal, a greater compassion for the lost, a greater love for the lost. And we've seen some of the best times of our lives, Pastor shared. Let our hearts cry out for more of him. Let us see our selfishness. And fall before him. Fall at his feet and ask for forgiveness. For any of the excuses we make. For all the reasons we give for neglecting Jesus. and being less, having less of him in us because of our selfishness. Having less of his fullness because we're too caught up with the natural. You all know that's what it comes down to in all of our lives. Myself first. But you know what? We're not going to stay like this. Amen. God's not done dealing with us. And we're not done obeying and yielding ourselves and presenting our bodies as a living sacrifice. Let's stand before the Lord and just offer ourselves back up to him and thank him for his goodness to us. Amen. Father's been so good to us. We have so much to be thankful for. Oh, you're worthy, Lord. You're worthy. Just let him refresh your heart tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, you're worthy, Lord. Hallelujah. Worthy of praise. Glory to your name, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, so worthy, Lord. Hallelujah. A work that's finished. Praise you. Hallelujah, Lord. No condemnation. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, you're worthy, Lamb of God. Thank you, Jesus. Worthy of praise. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, glory to your name, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Worthy of praise. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. We take authority, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. We take authority over the powers of darkness. We take authority over that condemnation and accusation. Hallelujah. We take authority over that bondage and that torment. Praise you, Jesus. Oh, Lord, where your spirit is, there's liberty, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Glory to God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 You might be here tonight and you just need that touch and you need the body of Christ to pray for you. I'm not going to ask you to come up to the altar, but if you just need someone to stand with you and say, man, I just need that fresh touch from Jesus. Maybe you could just step into the aisle, make your need known, and we could just have a few people lay hands on you as we're here in the presence of God. If that's something that you feel you want prayer and you just want refreshing tonight, you just want wholeness, just step out in that aisle, man, and let the Lord meet you right where you are. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to your name. Hallelujah, Jesus. If you see anybody stepping into the aisles, just as the Lord would lead you, just make your hands and put your hand on them. And let's believe God tonight, praise God. Let's believe him tonight. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Jesus. Glory to your name, Lord. You're worthy of the praise. Oh, we want you to have your way in our hearts, in our homes, Father, in this place, to show yourself mighty, Lord. We don't want anything less than what you promised, Lord Jesus. Lord, nothing less than what you provided. Lord, you said it's your good pleasure to give us the kingdom. Lord, we take it by force. It's available to us. We lay hold upon that eternal life. Help us to fight the good fight of faith, to know the victory of the cross and the resurrection. Hallelujah, hallelujah. To set out in faith against the powers of darkness. Holy Spirit, have your way. Holy Spirit, have your way. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Set people free tonight, Father, in the name of Jesus. Refresh and revive hearts. Set captives free, Lord. Lord, lift those who are burdened. Lord, lift their burdens tonight, Lord. Lord, breathe upon them. Refresh your people, Lord. Restore their peace and the joy of their salvation tonight, Lord. Place a fresh and a new zeal, a newfound love for your presence, your word, for that communion of the Holy Ghost. Sheriataya sila labatai meketere beriara sara bariara andoro beriarai. Oh God, that we would return back to the people you've called us to be. Make us the people you want us to be, Lord. To see our brothers and sisters who've gone before us in the book of Acts. Lord, those great witnesses who finished this race, let us be inspired by their lives. To know you as the God who's the same yesterday, today, and forever. The God who changes not. Praise you, Jesus. We need you, Jesus. We're asking you to stretch forth your mighty hand. Confirm your name. Confirm your word. Show yourself mighty. Make a name for yourself in this place. Let your glory be known in this house. Let the people hear about the visitation of God, the glory, the manifestation of your power, your presence and your glory, and draw them into this place. Let your glory shine. Fill us to a place that we've not known. Fill us until we overflow, that it would be rivers, Father, rivers. I've got a river of life flowing out of me that makes the lame to walk and the blind to see. Hallelujah, I've got a river of life flowing out of me, praise God. Father, that we would hear that voice that says this is the time, and we can look at people and say, look on us. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have. Such as I have Jesus, and He's alive in me. My body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, and such as I have, give I unto thee in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. Help us to step out in faith and power and true authority, knowing who we are as your ambassadors. To see the needs and the sheep that are wandering without a shepherd. To see the sick and the afflicted and the tormented and the depression and all the psychological problems and diseases that this society and this county and this area is racked with, all of this bondage of Satan. They've been Satan's victims and his captives. Give us that message to see the prison doors opened and the captives set free, and let your anointing be on each one of our lives in a fresh and new way we've not known, Lord. The true anointing of God that's in the name of Jesus. The authority of the believer that you've given us. That we would know our God. And we would do those exploits in your name and for your glory. Thank you now that you've gone before us and your glory is our rear guard. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We worship you and give you all the honor and glory, Father, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Just turn to someone and say, our God is truly on the throne.